step back in time with me for a moment. So welcome to Mount Sinai. There's not much to do here. It's rather barren and dusty, but thank God for the bread He provides us each morning and the water that flows freely from the rock that split open when Moses struck it with the rod of God. I'll have to admit, I miss the melons and fresh corn we had in Egypt. On the other hand, I don't miss the whip of Egyptian soldiers on my back. We've seen some sights these last few months. The 10 plagues, the crossing the Red Sea, now the 10 commandments. It was a bit unnerving when the ground shook and the fire of God came upon that mountain and the trumpet of the Lord blasted out of the cloud. But today is a huge day. We're going to officially recognize as God's nation. Today is Ratification Day, National Covenant Day. Moses is again going up the mountain of God, and this time 70 elders are going partway up. Perhaps we might even see the glory of the Lord. Wouldn't that be awesome to be the first person there? In so many of the biblical accounts, one of the things we wish is just, man, I'd love to have been there. Read the next story, love to have been there. People say, I would have loved to live in the time of Jesus. The time of Moses was pretty significant. Maybe they saw only second to Jesus, I think, with that period in the time of Moses and what those Jews that were being rescued and redeemed. I don't know that there's any other period of time in history than this period that we're studying currently where there were more miracles and more mighty acts of God that really are, even as we read today, we're just stunned and it's like, you have to believe in a mighty God when you read the Bible and you begin to see this picture. It's like, no, this is not some little local savior. This is not the Lone Ranger coming to rescue us or, you know, Kung Fu and the grasshopper rescuing people out in the wilderness somewhere because someone feeds them badly. This is the Savior of the world. It warrants large, grand stories. And the Bible delivers, right? If you're going to put your faith in someone for all of eternity and believe in such things, it's going to require a grand Savior. And don't you think the Bible delivers on that? When you read the Bible, it's like, well, that's, as a matter of fact, that's the very thing that makes some people not believe. It's like, that's too big. Well, what do you want, a smaller Savior? It's like, this is fitting for what we're claiming, okay? So there's several things we're going to see in this passage. And the first thing is I'm going to back up to chapter 21 because we went through 20 and we looked at the Ten Commandments. At the end of the Ten Commandments, we're getting more legislation. So before we get to chapter 24, I want to run through the end of chapter 20 through chapter 23. And there's some stuff in there. There's one issue in particular that's really hard. It's really hard for me. I read it and I'm like, man, Lord, what would have been easier if you just left my life? You ever come to a passage and you're reading, I don't just wish God had left my life. And it's like, oh no, my friend's going to ask me about that guy. Or someone comes to the church, or someone's skeptical of the Christian faith, or what's your answer for this? Sometimes I have to say, I don't have a great answer to that particular question. But here I can always comment, okay? But whatever my answer is to that, or my inability to answer all the questions in my life, I do know that it doesn't rattle or shake. Sometimes I feel a little bit of rattling and shaking. Let me say it doesn't remove my confidence in the main message of the Bible, and that is Jesus Christ is the Son of God, who died on the cross for my sins. So when I come to questions, sometimes I need to go back to that thing that's just my rock. So more legislation, that's the first thing I want to talk about. God spoke the 10 words of the 10 commandments to Moses and presented to the world the most comprehensive and succinct at the same time. It's very incredible that he could do this. The most comprehensive and succinct moral guide ever presented, the 10 commandments presented an ethical foundation for every possible situation ever to face human beings. And this guide will be the basis for all beings to stand before God and give an account of our life. Every thought, word, and deed can be traced back to one of these commandments. It is therefore important to study and understand these rules of life. And then chapter 20 to 23 are what we would call case laws. Like in this case, this is how the Ten Commandments apply. In that case, this is how it applies. So there's some case laws. There's some situations in which it's applied. And I don't know if you knew this, but if you could keep the Ten Commandments,
God wanted to be in constant fellowship with his people. Altars were specifically designed for animal sacrifices and the shedding of blood to atone for sin. In Exodus 20:14, in every place where I cause my name to be remembered, will come to you and bless you. Okay? And that's when I would put an altar. Like, God's like, everywhere you go, I want to be with you. I want to be in your midst. But in order to do so, we're going to have to do sacrifices because we're going to keep doing them because you keep sinning. So we're going to have to find a way to minister to you and enable you to draw close to God. So it's a mercy of God that he's provided this way. And the tabernacle would become that location. And then the temple. And now we are told, because Jesus died on the cross for us, we don't have to go to the temple and the tabernacle. We could even go to Webster Baptist. Or we could go up in the mountains somewhere and spend time with God. And we could go. We can call upon the Lord because God has made the way so accessible to us. Because of the sufficiency of Christ's death in the need for the sacrifice. And because of the everywhere present, the omniscient nature of God, particularly the Holy Spirit of God. Okay? So, make no mistake, God loves the place where his people gather to confess their sins, where there is shedding of blood, which for us is in memory of what Christ did for us. We don't bring the animals anymore. And where people are pardoned and lift up his name in exuberant gratitude. He loves the praises of his people, and he loves the cross where Jesus shed his blood once and for all. So, as far as gathering, God loves his gatherings. And I wish that you did, and I wish that I did. I wish that I loved gatherings. I had someone come up to me last week, and I said, the gatherings of God are so special to God. And I had a young lady come up to me, a young woman come up to me, and she said, I love the gatherings. I thought, bless you, Lord. I did too. And it just touched my soul the way that she said that. She said, this is to come and be with God's people and hear God's word and sing God's praises. And I thought, wow, that was fantastic. Okay? Secondly, there are laws about slavery, and this is the part that I just kind of wish wasn't there. Exodus 21:1-32. So there's lots in the Bible about slavery. Old Testament, New Testament, in Exodus, Leviticus. There's also stories of slavery about the Israelites in slavery in Egypt. They were in slavery in Assyria. They were in slavery in Babylon. They were under oppression, which was a type of slavery in the Roman world, and they wanted Jesus to deliver them. Paul wrote letters to slaves who were a part of the Roman slave system. It's all through the Bible. Slavery was part of the ancient world in both the Old Testament and New Testament. The Jews had just been delivered from slavery. They would experience slavery in Assyria, Babylon, Roman oppression. This is an area of huge and heated debate. Why didn't God just say, I hate slavery and never, ever practice it again or allow it? That's the way I would write it. I'm not God. Okay? I personally wish that is what God had said and done. I personally struggle with how the Bible deals with the topic. I understand the idea that much of slavery in the Bible is related to people who had no other way to claim bankruptcy, no home, no job, no resources. The only thing they could offer was themselves to work their way out of debt. So the vast majority of slavery in the Bible was what some people call injured made in the image of God, and worthy of full dignity and value to come to all human beings. So I know I'm supposed to value everything in human beings. And there's no way in the world I would want to come to all human beings. And I would hold them to the highest esteem. And I need to treat everything as my equal to be done. I should have missed it anyway. That's the whole second table of the law. I love the neighbor myself. I love people myself. Everything that I do, I offer love to them. I love myself. And that wasn't the greatest car, but I had to put it with my own money, so it was special to me. Okay, and that's the kind of thing that's like, I didn't know where to go. I'm like, I'll call my friend out, take him to jail or something. I don't know, I just didn't know what to do. But I felt, this person felt, obviously felt no obligation to be responsible for doing my car. A Christian conflict was like, no, I'm responsible. The other person felt guilt. And I went back to that person and said, you know, you're the person in the car with you. Yeah. Like, oh, I don't know that. I didn't know where to go after that. Okay, a fourth thing, laws about social justice. There's several things in there. There are a lot of various and miscellaneous laws in this. It seems obvious that these things had probably already happened or were expected to happen. There's all kinds of rules in the case laws and social issues, laws about rape, seduction, sorcery, sacrificing to false gods, mistreatment of widows and orphans, taking advantage of the poor, cursing your boss or your leaders, spreading false reports, perverting justice, favoring the rich, or siding with the poor, working all the time, not saving a day for the Lord, or making or accepting bribes, mistreating foreigners. This is, again, the application of the commandments to love God and love your neighbor. So what we see is the law of God is started rippling out into their social life and their national structure. say, oh, I'm good, I'm in, because I did this personal thing. It's a time when the personal thing goes public, and that's what baptism is. I'm tired of hiding my little confession in the closet. I go to church, but I don't care what age you are. You're ready to be identified as a follower of Jesus Christ, and you've never made that very clear. I was baptized in water as a young person. It didn't mean it sparked me. I did it because my friends did it. But I was baptized later once I understood the gospel. I said, I need to make clear my allegiance is to Jesus Christ, and I'm walking away from the world. I'm walking away from Satan, and I am declaring before other people that I believe that Jesus wants the sin, that this sin is away, just floating down the river away from me. And physical is the picture of the reality. My sins have been separated by the blood of Jesus Christ, and I wanted to be identified as his follower. And it's been 47 years when I did that, to be identified as a follower of Jesus Christ. What about you? Right. Hallelujah, right? Praise God. All right, Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the way that you work in our hearts. Thank you when we navigate through some of these passages in the Old Testament. When we get a bigger picture, we start seeing how it fits, and your word is beautiful. And it's challenging, but it's beautiful. And we see that there they were at Sinai, God. And, you know, Lord, if I had to pick, I'd rather be at Calvary than Sinai. I'd rather pick that. I'd rather be there. I'd rather see the empty grave and the empty tomb. And that's the side we live on, God. Praise you, Lord. We praise you that we live on the side. We know what saves. They just knew the law, and they needed a Savior, but we know who saves. Thank you, God, that we live in the privileged time of the resurrection of Jesus. We give you the glory and the praise and the honor. And I just praise you, God. Hold those today who want to identify as a follower of Christ, and make it sweet. Sweet be the waters of baptism to those who have experienced the saving power of Jesus Christ, and their sins have already been washed away, and they want all to know, and they want to give you praise and glory. We rejoice that our saving God